There's a Korean word which I learned last week, which I love. It's a wonderful and important word for us, and you'll understand why as I unfold this. Most of the Christian church in the West, focuses, as they read Scripture, and as we preach, and as we worship together, on our guilt as sinners, on the sin that we commit, and on God's willingness to forgive us if we will take that forgiveness. And this is a part of the gospel. But it's only a part of the gospel. So if we stop and think for a minute about Jesus' ministry, who did he minister to? Sinners. Yes. Sinners. Yes. Sinners. Yes. But if we read the scripture again, we realize that every time, with few exceptions, that there is a sinner, there is someone who has been sinned against. Where's the gospel for the sinned against? Where's the gospel for those who have been hurt by our sin? Where's the gospel for us when we have been hurt by others? The sinned against. The full gospel includes God's grace for the sinners as well as the sinned against. When Jesus died on the cross, it was not just the sin of the world that he carried there, but all of the pain and all of the injury done by us as we sinned against others. I promise, realizing this, the next time you read the gospel, you will see there is much more there that we have missed. And what's interesting about this is if you go to Africa or Asia, almost anywhere in the third world where the average person suffers every day from privation, from starvation, from military oppression, from economic oppression, where there are class systems. And if you haven't been to a country where there's a class system, there's one in this country, but it is a mere shadow of what those systems are like elsewhere. When you are born a Harijan in India, you die a Harijan, the lowest of the low, the untouchables. Doesn't matter that there have been democratic reforms. When you are born a Brahmin, you die a Brahmin, and you never become an untouchable. You live in the same class that you were born into, and you die in it. And it is assumed there, as well as this is even true in the Philippines and elsewhere, that if you are born into that servant class, the upper class assumes that it is a part of the created order that you are to serve if you are born into that class. It never occurs to them that you shouldn't be waiting on them day and night, that your hours shouldn't be their hours, whatever it is that they wish. And if they want something at 2 a.m. in the morning, that you shouldn't get up and go get it for them. And so throughout the world, most people who read the Bible, when they read it, what they see in there is the sinned against and Jesus' ministry to the sinned against. Oh, they know they're sinners. We're all sinners. We all qualify as sinners. We all sin. But there are many in the world whose lives are defined not so much by the horribleness of their sin as by the horror of the sin done to them, the sinned against. And there's a Korean word which refers to the sinned against, and that word is Han, H-A-N, Han. I think it's just a wonderful word to add to our vocabulary. It's not in the Bible, neither is Trinity. But the concept of Trinity is in the Bible, and the concept of Han, the sinned against, is there for sure. The Han, both as in common noun, Han meaning sinning against, and or rather the sinned against, and Han as a group, the Han, the people who have been sinned against. And the gospel is meant for them. In our society, this comes in other forms. There are people in the society, for sure, still true, who are economically oppressed. They are born in places where, except for those who have extraordinary ability and extraordinary drive, they die in the place they're born. And they die in the class in which they're born. There are also people, this congregation is a place which has been called by God to minister, who have been abused as children, physically, sexually, emotionally, spiritually sometimes. They have been sinned against. And that sinning against causes enormous damage in the life and heart of a child, particularly when it comes at the hands of that person who ought to be their caregiver and protector. And imagine what that does when you think about God as Father, if the person who has hurt you was your father. How do you ever get to the point where the word father can be anything except a curse word? And yet, how do you deal with a father who has abused you, or a mother, or an uncle, or a neighbor, or a priest? How do you ever deal with a person like that who has harmed you in that way? How do you ever see God or another priest? When I was in Florida one time, Holy Spirit, Church of the Holy Spirit, I was standing next to a man, and we were singing a praise song like we sing here. And we were invited to reach out and hold hands with each other to pray. And the minute that I touched this man's hand, I felt a jolt from the Holy Spirit, which said, this man has been abused and there is a homosexual spirit in him. Now, there was nothing outwardly that would make you think this. And it was the very last thing I expected the Holy Spirit to say to me when I grasped a man's hand to pray. And later I was with him privately in a small group, and he confessed that he had struggled with his sexuality ever since the day his priest had sexually abused him. Ever since that day, his priest was responsible for that spirit coming into his life. And so I told him, I'm a priest, and I want to beg your forgiveness on behalf of every priest that has ever lived for what was done to you. I am so very sorry. And he took that apology from me, and that spirit left immediately, and he was set free. When we read the gospel, we need to realize as we read it that God's grace is not just for sinners, but God's grace is also poured out for the sinned against, for the Han. And if we really mean it when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. If we really desire the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, then we should know that He will come here not just for us as sinners, but also for us as sinned against. And all of us are both. All of us are sinners. All of us are sinned against in our lives. Some profoundly, in one or the other of those ways. And as Jesus said, the planting has already been done. The harvest is ready. The fields are white for harvest. And God desires workers. That's us. Workers in the field means more than just those who share the gospel of salvation, an important and essential thing to do. But it also means workers in the field to harvest in to the kingdom of God all of those who have been sinned against, to allow God's grace and mercy to pour out, for there to be healing and forgiveness and restoration, resurrection to life, where life has been damaged and hurt. And if we truly desire to be those people, and I believe that we do, then we need to be willing to let him work as he needs to work. And there will be times when his working here among us will be very untidy. Does anybody object? Anybody who's unwilling to have things be untidy if the Lord comes, now would be a good time to say so, because it'll be untidy. And there will be times when God comes and just falls on us to bless us. There will be times when we will laugh together, when we may fall together, when we will weep together, when we will be blessed together. Now, we can live our lives here and in the world as the Stoics of Greece did, with an emotional flat line. And they did this so that they would never experience the pain of tragedy. And so they flatlined their emotions, never then experiencing either the joy of blessing. Do we want to be Stoics? Do we want to be Greeks here? Or do we want to be lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ and those who will allow him by his Spirit to do whatever he will, whatever it looks like, however silly it makes us look, however uncontrolled it makes us look? This is a hard challenge, especially to men. We always have to look like we're in charge. Are we willing not to look like we're in charge if it means allowing the Lord to do what he wants to do? For me, I pray, come, Holy Spirit. Let's just invite him right now. Holy Spirit, come.